Good morning, church family. Would you please turn in your Bible now to the book of Romans and the 12th chapter, and we roam from verse 14 to the end of the chapter today, and we've entitled our message for this morning, Be Like Jesus. The Gospels in the New Testament show us what Jesus is like, and the letters in the New Testament all tell us the same thing, be like Jesus. And they tell us not only to be like Jesus, but they tell us how we can be like Jesus. Not in our own strength, but in a personal relationship with Him, where through the enabling grace of the Holy Spirit of God at work within us, we can be changed from one degree of glory to another, into the image and likeness of Jesus as we trust Him and obey His word. And so Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God bless His word to us this morning. All the letters in the New Testament are primarily telling us one thing, and that is, be like Jesus. The hymn writer wrote about that in that old hymn, Earthly Pleasures Vainly Call Me. I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. That's what Paul is saying to us here in this passage that we looked at just a moment ago. So have it open on your lap and look at verse 14 once again as we launch into these exhortations this morning. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. How reminiscent of the Sermon on the Mount in our first reading. You can always tell authentic biblical preaching, no matter who the preacher is, measure what the preacher is saying about the Christian life in terms of the Sermon on the Mount, and very particularly the Beatitudes. If we're not being encouraged to be poor in spirit and to be mourning over our depravity and to be meek and gentle in our interactions with others, if we're not being encouraged to hunger and thirst after righteousness and to be merciful to others, and to be pure in heart, then what we're hearing is not really the biblical gospel. And so the Apostle Paul is saying in J.B. Phillips' paraphrase, as for those who try and make your life a misery, bless them, don't curse them, bless them. D.L. Moody said on one occasion that he thinks that when Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week and walked out of the tomb, and later encountered Simon Peter, he probably said to him, "Peter, go and find the man who thrust the spear into my side and tell him there's a quicker way to my heart." Jesus practiced what he preached, did he not? On the cross, he's praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive, forgive." And his policy won two people to himself, right there, a Jew and a Gentile. A Jew, a thief, an insurrectionist, dying on the cross beside him. That very day was promised paradise in the presence of Jesus. And a Gentile Roman centurion who watched him die came to this conclusion as he put his trust in the one who died on the cross. Surely this was the Son of God. Can we ever hope to be like Jesus? Yes. The annals of church history are filled with illustrations. I think of the missionary Adoniram Johnson, converted from agnosticism and called to serve Christ in the country that was then called Burma, and how Adoniram and his wife suffered persecution and deprivation. He was imprisoned for 2 years. The mission house was burned down. Then his execution was announced. When he met his wife again, he was starved and emaciated. His wife was in rags. Yet they never lost sight of their goal, to love their enemies into the kingdom of God. And they blessed those who persecuted them, and they prayed unceasingly for them. And after the years went by, finally the Bible was translated into the language of the people that they loved and would have willingly laid down their lives for, and the church was established. Verse 15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn." That's exactly what Jesus did, is it not? Jesus' first miraculous sign is at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the wine runs out. And so he changes umpteen gallons of water into wine so that the celebration can continue and the people's hearts can be filled with joy. And his last miraculous sign is at the grave of his friend Lazarus, where he breaks down weeping. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. As pastors, sometimes we go from one to the other in the same day. I remember just as I left the vestry to mount the steps to participate and conduct in a joyous wedding occasion, I got the news that a very dear friend had just died. It's all part of life. It's all part of being like Jesus. It's to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. J.B. Phillips again, "Share the happiness of those who are happy and the sorrow of those who are sad. From a situation of joy to a situation of sorrow, it's what Jesus did to share the love of God in every situation of life from one extreme to the other." Verse 16, "Live in harmony with one another." Paul is not calling for uniformity here. He's simply calling for the magnanimity that we see in Jesus' life. He says, "Don't let pride or conceit get in the way of building relationships with all kinds of people in the church and in the world. Be willing to associate with laborers as well as the rich and famous." Jesus often comes in the disguise of the poor and the marginalized. Have you learned that? Again, be like Jesus. He treated the loose living Samaritan woman at Jacob's well with the same consideration, courtesy, and compassion that he treated the princely Pharisee Nicodemus. Jesus was as charitable to the dying thief as he was to his own mother at the foot of his cross. He was patient with Judas Iscariot, just as he was patient with Peter and James and John, the sons of thunder. By contrast, the Apostle John in his third letter writes of Diotrephes, who loves the preeminent place, who loves to be first. How sad. Beloved, in a world where everyone is scrambling for position, prominence, and recognition, the Christian is to move just as compassionately and self-effacingly among the lowly as he does among the mighty. Jesus says to his disciples, he says to you and me again this morning, learn of me, learn of me, learn of me, and you'll find that I'm very different to the image that is portrayed by some. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. God, help us to shun the pride that would keep us from also, like Jesus, being the friend of publicans and sinners. Do not be conceited. Verse 17 leads to the whole question of retaliation and revenge, the temptation to get even, to return evil for evil. To retaliate is so natural, is it not? I have a confession to make. I still struggle with the desire to get even. You've seen the bumper sticker, I don't get mad, I just get even. The Apostle Paul says in verse 18, if it is possible, live at peace with everyone. Paul had enemies. He stirred up trouble everywhere he went. But it was never his motive. It was never his motive. And he says to us, so far as it is within your power, seek to live at peace with all people. There are some people that don't allow you to live at peace with them. But so far as it is possible, live at peace with all people. If you leave the matter of getting even to the Lord, he will take care of things, and something even greater may happen. Your enemy may find mercy. We remind ourselves again that the writer of our letter is one who found mercy, one who found the grace of God, because Stephen, the one that was being martyred, knelt down, saying, I see heaven opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, and being like Jesus, Stephen knelt down and prayed, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. And Jesus had taught, whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And so Stephen, in his dying moments, like Jesus, he loosed his persecutors in heartfelt forgiveness. And it was just a matter of time before he bit the dust, before the risen, glorified Jesus. And his life was totally transformed. And he became an apostle to the nations. One of the tragedies that stands out in my mind still today was when the first civilian Viscount aircraft, the Viscount Hanyani, was shot down by freedom fighters during the Bush War in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia. The pilot was a school friend of mine. The co-pilot was engaged to a niece of mine. On board was my dentist, and on board was a couple that I had married just a week before, and they went to spend their honeymoon at Lake Kariba. and they perished when that Viscount aircraft was shot down. And 17 people survived, 5 went to find water, and when they came back they heard gunfire, and the 12 survivors had been mowed down by AK-47 fire by the freedom fighters. I'm not sure if any of those who are responsible for that particular downing of Viscount Giannone came to Christ. But I can tell you this, that in 1978, when 13 missionaries, 9 adults and 4 children were hacked to death by freedom fighters at the Elam Mission School in the eastern districts of Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, that by the grace of God, one of the prayers that was prayed for them as they were being hacked to death was, Lord, pray that you will bring these people to forgiveness. They don't know what they're doing, but we pray that you will forgive them and bring them to faith in Christ. And the good news is that 13 who survived that particular situation, 2 of them were caught and killed, but a little while later, when the war ended, a missionary was speaking to a man by the name of Gary Hovey. And Gary Hovey was the commander of the 15 gang of freedom fighters that massacred those missionaries. They avoided gunfire because they didn't want to draw attention to where they were and to that incident. They simply hacked the people to death, including little Pamela Grace, who was 3 weeks old. I stood at the spot a few days later. Gary Hovey was led to Christ by the missionary who shared with him how Jesus suffered, was beaten and abused and crucified. He said, I have blood on my hands. How could I ever be forgiven? And the missionary shared with Gary how he could be forgiven because of what Jesus had done for him. 7 of those men who were guilty of that atrocity are in full-time service today, serving the Lord. Gary Hovey is a powerful preacher. During the last 4 years of that bush war, I was a pastor. My friend Roy Comrie was a missionary. He was a great friend of those who were killed at the Elam Mission School. And then in 2007, he got the news that his sister Sheila had been raped and murdered in her home at Hibernian on the KwaZulu-Natal south coast. And once again, through the providence and kindness of God, Roy Comrie was able to meet Chris Mguni, who had raped and murdered his sister and who was up on trial for murder. And to cut a long story short, there are now dozens of prisoners up for murder in Westville Prison who have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Do not take revenge, my friends, but be like Jesus. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but be overcome, but overcome evil with good. I don't know if you've ever had anyone who wants to shoot you. I have. I was conducting a service one morning in our previous church in Meadowridge, and a dear lady came in dancing down the aisle and in front of folks, and it's not that we didn't allow dancing in the aisle, but this was a little bit off the wall, And the next day, I was alone in the vestibule of the church, and a man came storming towards me, wild with anger. He blamed me for causing a breakdown in his wife's mental health, and said our church was responsible for that, and thrust his finger right here on my forehead, and with his revolver, he said, "That's where I'm going to put the bullet." I'm not sure what you would have done, but I discovered I wasn't such a hero after all. I retreated out of a side door, got into my car, and sped off to the nearest elder I could find. The next day we discovered that this dear lady had been taken into an institution. We also discovered that she had left behind not just a husband who was confused and angry, but children who needed feeding. And so we fed them day by day until they were able to recover from the situation. And that gentleman felt shame. I'm not sure if this is what the verse means. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. I just know that to be like Jesus, with the Holy Spirit's help, in every situation of life, is the only way to really live life. And God will take care of the rest. Shall we pray? Now, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you so much that we have the example of Jesus. We think of the words of the Apostle Peter, a fisherman who was converted to Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, and became an apostle to the nations, who writes saying, "Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. To this you were called. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. God, help us through the grace and power of your Holy Spirit and through our trustful obedience to your word to be like Jesus. Amen."